hills that you're willing to die on. You probably got one out there. I don't know why this keeps moving, brother. There you go.
I don't either.
It's all right. Internet's up. We're living. Everybody's got one. Texas Tech currently has one. This is their president talking about their issue going on.
Yeah, I think right now so many people are pointing the finger of like, well, he's going to play. He can play is what the judge said. What we're trying to do is get him into a healthy space to where he feels great about what he's doing and he can deal with this addiction in a healthy way. And that's day by day.
So they're just going to keep doing this.
Get bent.
And this is their hill that they're dying on, that they're doing, quote, everything they can to, quote, help said athlete Brendan Sorsby. I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're just trying to protect their face. They're trying to save face here. And it's not one that I think I would ever be willing to do on that hill, because what he needs is to get away from the game of football. He needs to get right with himself. And what they're doing is just, I don't know, it's just not professional. I don't enjoy it. Because if that kid has a serious problem that they are talking about, then what they need to do is get him away from football and not have him, you know, around the facility and around these other guys, because that's just going to get him more and more that itch to maybe go back to that or relapse towards sports gambling. Everybody has their addictions. I'm sure we've all been there. I've known people that have had them, and, you know, for instance, when we've had, you know, buddies that have had drinking problems and we all want to hang out, it's like, hey, come on over. But if you don't mind, maybe leave the booze at the house. You don't need to be drinking around this, you know, said person. Well, there's NA products. I get that. I understand that. But let's just respect what's going on and, you know, get it out of sight, out of mind. Go to lunch, have a water or a tea or a Sprite, something like that. It's not, well, we're going to take him to a bar and just really, you know, try to see if he really is over it. Like, that's not the professional way to do it. And Texas Tech is not doing that at all with this Sorsby kid, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion.
Yep. No, I mean, he just shouldn't play. I mean, it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, I mean, you did something wrong. You have to figure out why you kept doing said wrong problem. And then now you have to figure out how to get away from problem. And by what they're doing, that's not helping the process. So to kind of shift gears, do you guys have a sports hill that you're still willing to die on?
I don't. I don't know that I've ever had one, really.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Never?
I don't think so. I was trying to think. I thought a lot about this, and I couldn't come up with one where I'm ready to die on a hill for anything. I don't know. I mean, it took – you sent this, what, yesterday at about noontime, roughly?
Yeah.
And here we are at 8 a.m. the next day, and I'm still going, I don't know that I have – that hill that I'm willing to die on. The text line may know the hill that I'm willing to die on, but from my standpoint, I'm like, I don't know that I've ever really had one of those.
Andy Reid goat? Would you die on that hill?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, that's
yeah.
a good one.
Okay, is that considered
that's one?
One
for you.
Okay, all right.
You took 2 seconds.
Yeah, Brett Beach Hill?
Yeah, I'll die on that.
You'll die on a Brett
yeah,
Beach
I
Hill.
Guess, yeah. yeah. Okay, I guess when you put it like
well,
that,
way, that
way, I guess
yeah.
I was thinking like maybe bigger perspective.
No,
I don't
that.
Know what I was thinking of, but I kept like going round and round like, I don't know what hill I'm willing to die on that's really a bad... Like, I look, Andy Reid, goat. There's a lot of people that would die on that hill,
it's true.
Right?
It's not the same.
Right. So I guess I was thinking more along like the lines of like, yeah, a hot take of something, of
yes.
some hill that I'm willing to die on that, you know, nobody else agrees with or something like that. That's kind of where I took that, because that's essentially what Texas Tech is doing right now.
Great text from 660, and you would agree with this as well, Bob. It would be a hill that you'd be on dying with this guy. Feel of the game over analytics.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's another good one. But again, I think that's the majority of sports fans are feel of the game. The only people who are analytics are the dorks and nerds that are employed by teams.
913, Bob just wants guys to perform like they care.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm willing to die on that hill. Perform like you care.
He will die on Brett Veach having a great chest.
Yep.
A great chest hill, my mistake, 816, you're right.
Yeah, that is true.
Right,
yeah, Brett Veach does have a great chest.
Dusty, any hills you'd die on in sports world?
Yeah, I made one this week. Mahomes will retire chief.
There we go. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he comes back and signs the one-day contract
no,
and throws
that's,
a pass
no.
to the new future wide receiver.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
That's
yeah.
not – I mean, he never leaves.
Yeah.
And the other hill that I will die on and I will continue to die on, and how do you like me now, Toby Keith said one time, listen through your radio – Jack Caglione will be
yes.
a superstar
That's
for
it.
The Kansas City Royals.
That's your hill. Yes.
Suck it, haters.
Okay? And it's happening.
It's
happening
before
right now.
Our eyes. Do you want some stats? These are his last five games. 2 hits and 4 at-bats. 4 hits and 5 at-bats. 3 hits and 3 at-bats. No hits and 1 at-bat. 2 hits and 3 at-bats. Hello. I know that I'm hard.
Hello, America.
Hello. Best batting average on the team. Best slug on the team. Best OBS on the team.
That's not Bobby Witt Jr. you're talking about.
No, I'm talking
about
Jack
talking about a guy
Cagliano.
That they told us at the beginning of the year was a part-time player.
And he's, what, 22?
23.
Yeah, 23. Yeah.
6'5", 250,
yes.
Size 17 foot. Dusty, how's your kegs guy doing? Where you at? Where you at now? I'm here. I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm right here waiting for you. Waiting. Waiting with a 279 batting average with 19 RBI, 8 home runs, 351 OBP, 457 slug, 807 OPS. Get this mother Frito in the home run derby. Put him on the stage.
816, you might die on this. Free mattress to good home, 435 in View High.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nicely done.
816, hot take rolls of trash. It's not a hill that you die on, nor is it that hot of a take. Get some more hills. I would die on Sophie Cunningham's hill.
Hills.
Exactly.
For sure, she's a babe. You know, she's the one that threw the pass to Caitlin Clark when she hit the three.
There you go.
Somebody says, Bob, you would die on the hill with warm butter at a wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. But more and more people are coming around and understanding that serving people cold butter is a scam.
My hill, Tony won us that Super Bowl.
It's okay. I'm not going to.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was great in that Super
Bowl.
Did
they have a lead?
The punt return was when they.
Did they have a lead? That just kind of like sealed the game. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I think so. I think we only won by 3 in that game,
they
right?
They definitely didn't seal anything. Yeah, that game wasn't sealed until the flag at the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Andy won us that game, but it's a good hill to die on.
Yeah. But that's what I was looking for. Something like that,
yes.
Where like Kadarius Toney is the reason we won that Super Bowl. Like, that's a hill, right?
Mine was Sam Darnold for 3 years.
That's
or so.
A good one for you because you did. You stood up for that guy for no apparent reason, and now he's the Super Bowl quarterback.
I've got many, many text threads from all of my friends and my fantasy football leagues clowning me from years ago, and many tweets of me standing on the hill. So that turned out to be solid. My hill now would be that I've stood on for the past year or so with you guys is that Mahomes' production has not dropped the way that a lot of people nationally and in Kansas City may think it has. That would be my other hill.
Right.
That he's still playing at an elite level.
Here's one from the 913. Tony Gonzalez was a better tight end than Travis Kelce.
Woo! Love it. Love it.
I mean, rings.
That's a great conversation
to
have.
Great conversation, man. It's a great hill.
I mean, I love that topic.
Statistic-wise, Tony Gonzalez probably leads. I mean, what, catches, yards, touchdowns?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know about touchdowns, but I know he's got a lot of impressive stats that Travis will never catch.
Mm-hmm.
But Travis got the rings.
Travis has got the rings, and he's got Taylor Swift, and he's got the career, and he's got, like, life after football. Not that Tony doesn't, but let's see how we could talk about this.
I can die on this hill. Travis Kelce would be better on TV than Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, obvious. Travis has got it all. Tony had it all, too.
Yes, he did.
Travis has the rings. Tony doesn't. Tony played where he was the only weapon for the most part in the passing game. Obviously, Priest Holmes was there, and Eddie Kinnison was there, but it wasn't like it is now. If you want to die on the hill that Tony Gonzalez is a better tight end than Travis Kelce, I'm here to have that conversation. Yeah, I love that conversation. And that's no knock against Travis at all. That just shows you how great both of these players are. And I think you'd have a conversation round and round and round about this. And I don't know that we'd ever have the right answer of who the better tight end is. But I like that hill.
Travis Kelce, 1,080 receptions, 13,002 yards.
Yep.
Tony Gonzalez, 1,325 receptions, 15,127 yards.
And 78 more games.
Yeah. Tony Gonzalez had 11.4 yards per reception. Travis Kelce has 11.2
or 12. Whoa. So 78 more games. He has 2,000 more yards receiving than Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Yeah, conversation over. Travis is the better one. 78 games? You know how many years that is?
Yeah, so you can't use that. Well, he was the only one. Yeah, statistically, Kelce is
now, even now that you said the 78 games, it changes everything.
Changes everything.
Travis is the number one tight end.
And if you look at playoff stats, and I know, you got to get the playoffs. Well, but you also have to become, when you're talking about greats, you level up. Travis Kelce is, forget tight ends, he's one of the maybe the best playoff weapon in NFL history. He's next to Jerry Rice in every stat.
And
Jerry
Rice. And he wasn't for a while. The first part of his career, he was not good in the playoffs because I was crushing him, dropping passes, not playing good, missing the half, like all that kind of stuff that went on in the postseason. It's like, if you're going to be a big-time player, you got to play when the moments are big. Okay, Bob, hold my beer. I'm going to go out there and show you now what I can do in the playoffs. And now, as you said, he's next to Jerry Rice in every single category. And then you mentioned the 78 games. I mean, that is that's an eternity in the NFL. That's like 5 years in the NFL. Yeah. So to say that he's only 2,000 yards behind in 78 less games, that shows you how damn good Travis Kelce is.
Travis Kelce's played 13 years. Tony Gonzalez played 17. Tony Gonzalez had 4 years where he had 1,000 or more yards. He did that four different times. Only once did he do it back-to-back. Travis Kelce did it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times? 8 straight times.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think he is the only, or he was tied. It's one of the, he's up there.
Yeah. You know,
only a few guys have ever done that ever.
Yeah. You
know, Mike Evans, a couple of guys.
I like that hill at the beginning of this conversation. And now that we've been educated, I hate that hill for you, man. Because, I mean, I, on the surface area, good conversation. And then Mac throws in a couple of numbers like that. You're like, maybe it is Travis Kelce.
If I was that Tony G. Hill Dyer, I think my biggest argument would be the position changed way too much, and you got more usage because Tony G was the one who changed the position, and he opened the door for guys like Gronk and Kelce to have that sort of statistical production. But yeah, no, it's Kelce. More hills to die on. Golf's a sport. Come on.
Let's go.
It is.
That's a hill to die on.
I mean, it's just a fact. Josh Allen will never get a Super Bowl.
What's a hill?
Yep.
I'm kind of with him on that. I don't think it's ever going to happen for Josh Allen. I really don't.
Will it ever happen for the Bills?
No.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen with Jim Kelly and Josh Allen, it's not going to happen with anybody.
I bet a hill you'd die on, Mac, is this one.
Oh, yeah?
John Elway's the most overrated quarterback of all time.
Love that. Is that in the text line?
No, but that's something I just brought that up.
Yes. Absolutely. That's absolutely one of my biggest hills. Yes.
Or overrated. I guess the other one would be like he wasn't even the best quarterback of his era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was never the best player even when he was playing.
No, he wasn't. No,
forget
no,
being a top 10 quarterback of
Joe
all time.
Montana was much better than John Elway.
Yep.
Yeah, nobody would, like, I remember growing up, there were never conversations about Elway. It was always about Joe Montana.
I think one of the hills that I die on in college basketball is that Roy Williams doesn't deserve his first title in North Carolina.
Whoo!
Those weren't his kids.
Doesn't deserve is interesting.
It's Matt Doherty's roster.
Yeah.
He just came in and coached him. It's like when John Gruden went to Tampa. That was
but Roy
Dungy's
followed
team.
It up with many championships after that, too. So
I didn't. That wasn't the take.
No, I understand that. But it's like he didn't. He won others. I mean, this happens all the time, though, in sports. And like, you know, what's his name at Illinois should not get credit for going to the national championship game because those are Bill Self's players, you know?
Yeah, again, the take wasn't that, though. The take is the first title that he won in North Carolina is that he doesn't deserve that one. He doesn't deserve the total credit for that. That was Matt Doherty's roster.
Yeah.
And they were just that, you know how Carolina is, man. We just saw it this year with who they got rid of. So, there's a lot of them out there. Because, I mean, that's what's crazy is, like, not only did John Gruden take over Tony Dungy's team, he then got to play his team that he just had left and then knew everything. Maybe that's a on the hill die. John Gruden might be the most overrated head football coach of all time.
Oh, I hate that, but yeah.
No, I mean, what did he do other than that Super Bowl?
Yeah, yep.
And it wasn't even, it was a roster that he was gifted. Now, again, he's got to coach him. I totally get that. But let's not forget, like, he didn't build that roster. Now, he got Brad Johnson to somehow carry that team to with that defense. That defense was electric. One of the, probably, in my opinion, my favorite defense in the NFL of all time. And literally, like, an all-pro at every position on the field. John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice. I mean, just loaded. Derek Brooks. I mean, just insane talent on that roster. But that's what sports are about. You know, you get to have these debates, and then you get to, you know, go back and forth with them. Hopefully they don't lead to, like, an argument.
Yes. MJ's the GOAT. I'll die on that from the 660.
Well, that's fair. That's funny you say that, because LeBron says he's the GOAT.
He does.
And he should say he's the GOAT. Everybody should say they're the GOAT when you're one of the greatest players of all time. I would have been disappointed if LeBron didn't say that. You've got to support yourself. You've got to get out there and champion you for the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and he's one of the few who, like, actually has that case. Yeah, as an athlete, you should think you're the best. That's going to help you perform the way you want to. But also, Like, he actually is one of the only guys who are, it's like, yeah, you could put together a pretty good case that he is.
So, you could, yeah. And he named a couple of others, too, that he thought could be considered the greatest of all time. And I don't really think he missed on anybody. He talked about Bird and MJ and Magic and, you know, himself, obviously. I mean, you know, Kareem.
Yep.
You know,
Shaq,
Will is in that category. I would imagine maybe Oscar Robertson you throw in there as well. The logo, Jerry West. But, I mean, there's not a lot of players in any sport where you could put in that category of the greatest of all time. And LeBron's in that category, and he should say he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and these quotes come from Time Magazine. He says, I'm not taking nobody over me. There's no question. But I think Mike will say the same thing, James said. Rest his soul, Kobe will say the same thing. Magic will say the same thing. Bird will say the same thing. Shaq could say the same thing. The late, great Wilt, Kareem. I don't think none of us are going to take somebody else. So,
yep.
Depending on how you take the quote, like, I'm the GOAT. Okay. And then you go back and, you know, like, and you could do the same thing in baseball. Like, I bet Babe Ruth, if he was still alive today, be like, oh, I'm better than Ohtani. I'd take myself over that guy. You know, Ted Williams might say he's the best hitter. Tony Gwynn would say he's the best hitter. You know, all these guys would say that. So I don't know. It's like you, Mac. I really hate the conversation because you could debunk LeBron and Michael Jordan in so many different ways.
Yeah, there's no right answer.
Like, who scored the most points in the NBA's history?
Yeah, LeBron.
Okay, who's got the most rings? In, or I guess not most rings, but who's won 2 3-peats in the finals?
Yep,
Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2 different times he won 3-peats. And like, when we talk about the greatness stats, right? We were talking about this the other day with like Ohtani and, you know, Mahomes, and how the stats, when you know you're a great, is when the stats make you sit back and go, what the F? Like,
yeah.
Like, I've said it 100 times, but it's like when Mahomes' career started, you're like, what's the earliest exit in the playoffs? Overtime in the AFC championship game. Ohtani strikes out the side, hits the home runs in the World Series. Like, and then you think of like Michael Jordan. Yeah, he won 6 championships, and how he did that is he won 2 different 3-peats.
Yep.
In like 8 years. And he played baseball because he got caught gambling. They didn't want to ruin the sport.
Yeah.
That's... How about this for a hill?
Yeah, this is your hill. Yeah, I was waiting for you to bring this up.
How about this hill? And maybe you'll disagree with me, Bob, and that's okay. Michael Jordan is the luckiest athlete of all time.
How so?
Again, not a lot of it is his fault. Sometimes luck is not your fault, right? Sometimes in golf, you hit a tree, and it goes right into the fairway, and your buddy hits the same shot, and he can't find his ball. That's luck, not my fault, just happened. Michael Jordan, for me, is the luckiest athlete because of the time that he was an athlete. There were no cell phones. There was no media really to capture what he was doing. If there was, I'm sure we'd have a lot of different storylines about Michael Jordan. 2, he didn't get suspended from basketball because he was such a big face and polarizing athlete that they couldn't put that on his career, so he decided to go play baseball for the White Sox. Coincidence? I think not. And instead of suspending Michael Jordan and putting a lash on his career where he comes back in a scarlet letter and said it was the number 45, he got to get away with it. That to me is lucky. Stern was like, hey man, I can't destroy my sport right now. It was booming with Michael Jordan at that time in 1996 or 1995. And you couldn't do that. That's luck. That doesn't happen today. The phones, the cameras, that doesn't happen today. And the other thing is that he gets lucky because he did have a big three. He had an amazing sporting cast in that second run of the three-peat. He had Rodman and he had Pippen. And people would crush the Celtics when they had Pierce, Allen, and Garnett. People crushed the Heat when they had Wade, Bosch, and LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Wade, Bosch, and LeBron is very similar to Pippen, Jordan, and Rodman. Like, Bosch was a scorer, don't get me wrong. Rodman didn't score. Rodman would have some insane stats where he'd have 0 points and 23 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that he has been blessed with the timing of his career that can make him one of the luckiest, if not the luckiest athlete of all time.
Yeah, I think calling him lucky takes away from his genius and how good he was on the court. And calling him lucky, I mean, you know, it's
but none of what I said was really on the court other than like, actually, none of what I said is on the court.
Yeah, but I also think when you look at Michael Jordan, you could say any athlete before social media is lucky. And Derek Jeter, let's call it what it is right now. Guy was signing NDAs as people were coming into his house and you were getting a gift basket as you were leaving, and you had to leave your cell phone at the door. And so all these, like, back in the day, baseball players and teams that would ride the train with the media, you know, and all that kind of stuff, they were probably lucky because who knew what was going on those trains. And I think a lot of it has to do with the product of the era era in which you play. And, you know, to defend the NBA a little bit, if that's what they did was send Jordan away for 2 years to play baseball because of the gambling stuff, well, that's what you want to do. You could have ruined your league at that point in time if you found out that there was some kind of gambling connection to the NBA, because it wasn't accepted back then like it is now. Even now, you find a gambling connection, unless you're Texas Tech. You know, you're suspending people and you're holding people accountable for all that kind of stuff. Gambling is one of those biggest, you know, snafus. But I really believe back then with the NBA where it was and the peak that it was with Michael Jordan, if all of a sudden you suspended him because he was gambling or there was gambling involved with the NBA, I think it absolutely could have ruined that sport. And so that's why you did it the way that you did. I don't necessarily have a problem with that per se, because they were trying to do what was best for the greatest good of the NBA. Imagine if the NBA got messed up in that scandal and that went away, not just players, but how many people's jobs and front offices and things like that. So I think that was a move to kind of save face and probably save the league at that point in time, if that was what was going on, which everybody seems to believe was going on with Michael Jordan at the time. So that's a save the face league at that point in time.
Can I add one thing on the basketball court to your take, Dusty? Because I don't hate the take. I like it. I think one thing basketball wise is there was no double teaming. There was no zones in the NBA. You could not double team anybody. You could not run a zone. So when you watch Michael Jordan, yeah, he's going against one guy the whole time. Imagine LeBron James going against one guy the whole time. He would have scored 45 points a game.
Mm-hmm. Imagine Wimby being single covered.
Exactly. You wouldn't be able to do it, right? You wouldn't be able to do it. It'd be impossible for guys that good. So, yeah, that's another thing where I'm like, from a basketball perspective, damn, the game's just so much different.
It is, yeah.
Speaking of basketball, I love Carrington's hill that he dies on, that Wilt Chamberlain never scored 100 points.
Yeah, that is a fun one. Yeah.
We don't have evidence of that.
Yeah, one of the more overrated athletes ever, Wilt Chamberlain.
A lot of hills there. Coming up next, we get back into the World Soccer Championship conversation and rule changes. Plus, Team USA plays tonight against Paraguay. We'll get into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.